Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, all across the fruited plain. Stand by for another edition of Council of Elders Show with our host, Mr. Jansen Brooks, and his special guest, Minister Tyler McClure. We're going to have a rousing edition today, so please, anyone who would like to speak, press 1, and after that, press your mute button on your phone. But right now, stand by for Mr. Jansen Brooks.
Thank you, Oscar Bissett. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, wherever you're at. My name is Jansen Brooks, and I want to invite you to the show today. Glad you tuned in. For you new listeners, let's tell you about the purpose of the Council of Elders. The purpose of the Council of Elders is for older people, elders, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. This concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide and encourage tribe members, settle disputes, etc. Young people are especially invited to call in with questions or issues. Our dream is to have a council of elders group or organization in every community in America, and for the council of elders to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single Council of Elders group. So we're assembling a group of elders here in the city of Sacramento, California. We'd like to have about 10 volunteers. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, and in their marriages. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation of today and the older generation should start to merge. The Council of Elders is an effort to do just that. And so today we do get a chance to merge with some of the younger generation because we have a young minister, Mr. Tyler McClure, who's going to bring us a special Thanksgiving message. And Tyler, we're very happy to have you with us today. And if it's okay, I'd like you to just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into your message today.
Good morning, good morning. Well, first off, in light of Thanksgiving, I'm extremely thankful to be on the show today. Anytime I'm allowed to share my heart or the words that God has shared with me, I'm always appreciative. So I'm extremely thankful to be here this morning. I am 27 years old. I do preach. I also do some expanding learning work and after-school programming out here in Sacramento, California. I'm currently working on my own nonprofit to help mentor young boys and provide resources for single mothers. I'm excited to work with our young people, as you said, to help bridge that gap and impart wisdom into them. But I'm also open to gaining wisdom, which is why I'm here on the Council of Elders. Because I love the combination of older and younger as it has developed me into the man I am today. So with that being said, thank you for having me today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, let's just get into your message today, Tyler. Just go right on ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. So this past week I did do Facebook and Instagram live on a mini message. It was titled "An Attitude of Gratitude," and where that came from. Before I get started, this is a faith-based radio show, so you will hear a lot of principles that are rooted from the Word, and a lot of principles that I obtained through the Scripture. So I don't want to beat nobody over the head with the Bible. However, that's the truth that I find to be true. So. With that being said, if you have any questions or anything, I will be stopping in between to allow you all to, you know, ask your questions or make your comments. But this message specifically was on my heart because last week I wasn't going to do it, but God started placing things on my heart, you know, as he does so well when he's asking you to do something and you get a little hesitant. But then I started seeing all these different materialistic things popping up on television, you know. They got the new PlayStation 5 that came out. They got all these sales during Christmas time. All the stores are going 50% off. People start hitting you. Your plugs start hitting you with the little discounts they got on the shoes. And so this irked my soul because this is that time of year where more people are depressed than they are cheerful, and we don't recognize that for what it is. But in addition to that, if this is supposed to be a holiday of just being thankful and appreciative and grateful, we kind of allow the materialistic things in our society to take precedence over the quality time and the mind state of just appreciation. And so that was one of the reasons why I decided to go forward with the lesson. But in addition to that, I had a friend of mine get COVID. A friend of mine got COVID a couple of days ago. They found out they were exposed. And just to be considerate of my family, I decided to quarantine. And so it couldn't have been more perfect timing. I'm quarantining on Thanksgiving. I'm having to be stuck in the house, stuck in the room, walk around the house with a mask on just because I live with an elder and family, so I just wanted to be safe. And I was going to go head first into my feelings, right, and be disappointed that I have to be stuck in the house while everybody else gets to, you know, parlay with family and cheer and all these different things. But I had to catch myself. I mean, I had many plans. I wanted to go to the Bay Area to visit some family. I wanted to go to different people's houses to see how many plates I can get. I wanted to try ribs. I wanted to try ham. I wanted to try turkey. I wanted to try roast. But I had to catch myself. And instead of complaining or coveting and summoning myself to my feelings, I had to swiftly submit myself to my spirit and just be thankful, right? Because, of course, I could be doing a few things to commemorate the holidays, right? But things can also be so much worse. They could be so much worse during the holiday season. I could easily have COVID, right? Instead of being exposed, I could have it. Or I could not have a home to celebrate Thanksgiving on. Or I could not have a room to quarantine in. And I think a lot of times that we get so caught up in what we don't have that we're not really paying attention and honing in on those things that we do have. And so I posed a question to you all this morning, if you could just rock with me this morning. How do we maintain or even begin to develop an attitude of gratitude? How do we maintain or even begin to develop an attitude of gratitude? How do we keep our mind frame in a state of being thankful? How do we keep our minds there? But before we dive into answering these questions so swiftly, it's important that we know what we're looking for. And the best way to find what an attitude of gratitude looks like is that we must know what it means to be thankful. So as I'm looking through Google, I'm a word freak, so as I'm looking through Google trying to define this word exactly for what it means, I see that Merriam-Webster had the word thankful defined as being pleased or relieved, pleased or relieved. And I had to look at the sentence below to make sure I use it in its proper context. It says, the people were thankful the war was over. The people were thankful the war was over. So by definition, the people were relieved or the people were pleased because the war was over. Now, having a faith background, I knew that this definition could be a red flag. And here's why. If we take it exactly for what it is and don't dig deeper, in essence, what I hear is, by Webster's definition, to be truly thankful, we have to benefit, right? We have to benefit. And I applied this because it says when the war was over, they were thankful. The faith that I live by, the God that I serve, teaches me, right, to be thankful through our situations, not just after it's over, right? Sure, we could be thankful afterwards, but to be thankful through it is a different definition. So what I hear in this one is, this thankful is like there's a means to an end for us that is fleshly gratifying, right? So when we see all these sales and things going up, no wonder why we rush through our family time to get to Black Friday, right? Don't wonder why we rush from spending time with family that we don't see often to going pre-Black Friday shopping or getting home so we can change and go find an outfit or go find what we've been looking for all year. Because we are thankful, pleased, and relieved that, yes, I can get what I want. So this thankful is a more fleeting and a more inconsistent, materialistic, selfish kind of persona that we have to take on. But if our word, the Bible, says that we must not have idols, then this is contradictory to that, right? If it's telling us to be selfless, then this is contradictory to that too. In fact, if we're trying to maintain anything, we're going to need a practice that is not just godly but consistent. But really, if God is a God is the same always, then we need a consistent practice because our God is too consistent. So the problem is we let the world define what it means for us to be truly thankful. Instead of looking at the word to set the standard, therefore, we resulted in not being knowing how to be genuinely grateful. So when defining thankful, I had to look for it in its original context. And by original, I mean Hebrew, because I do understand that our faith, our Christianity, was westernized and watered down a bit when it came to the States, as our country does so well. I'm grateful for being here, but we've watered down a lot of things. And so I had to go back to the beginning, the Hebrew language, which is a lot of the language in the Old Testament. So if we were to define thankful in a Hebrew language, right, it translates over into seeing the good. Ooh, seeing the good. So imagine that. So instead of they were thankful the war was over, we see here that there's a sense of contentment or rejoiced in the midst or in the middle of the war. Much opposite of what Merriam-Webster says, right? Because even in Greek, which is the primary language of those often found in the New Testament, the word means to simply give thanks and be grateful. So both of these words, the word grateful, right? And if we look at the word grateful and break it down, the root word of grateful is gratus, which is also a similar word to grace. So we take the definitions of thankful by the Bible, it's to see the good, right? It's to see the good and be grateful to God for his grace. Much different than man's definition, right? Because man's definition have you fooled. And then whenever it is that you're defining doesn't meet that mark, you'd find yourself disappointed. Whereas this teaches a different level of contentment. So if we pause for a moment and really break this down, what we hear is that thankfulness and gratefulness have been made to be two separate things. Somebody asked me last week, oh, are thankfulness and gratefulness two separate things? Not at all. They've been made to be two separate things, and really the idea of being thankful is being able to see the good in a situation and appreciating it so much that we attribute that back to God, giving him glory for allowing a situation to be what it is and understanding what it could have been. Therefore, that's what makes us grateful. So I'll say that again. The idea of being thankful is being able to see the good in a situation and appreciating it so much that we attribute that back to God, giving him glory for allowing a situation to be what it is and understanding what it could have been, therefore making them grateful. Brother Basin, do we have anybody on the line at all before I continue? Do we have anybody on the line at all?
Amen.
Do we have anybody on the line? Brother Basin, is
yeah.
there anybody on the line?
Yes. Yes, sir. We have Brother Willie Williams, and we have Brother Michael Giant. But anyone who would like to speak, wait a minute, we have someone who just clicked in and would like to speak.
Let's take them before I continue, for sure.
Good morning, caller. You're live on
Good
the
morning,
Council of Elders
show.
Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Caller 8691, please state your question.
All right. My name is Brother Preston Cannon, and I just wanted to comment on the brother saying that we should look for the good. And I just wanted to add that faith is also a primary ingredient, because there's a scripture that says all things work out for the good. So even if we can't see the good, we have to somehow tell ourselves that, whether it's from past experiences, past trials, that, and I'm going to use faith here, God knows what he's doing. He knows the plan he has. So there is going to be something good. Even if we can't see it, we just have to believe and hold on.
Amen. And I wish I could keep you on here with me so we could teach this together, because you're going right in the direction I'm headed.
Well, just stay on, Brother Cannon. Stay on.
No, that's all I had. I just want to thank Brother Michael for inviting me. I've never been on the line before, but to my surprise, I mean, I've been on my knees every morning. You know, I just recommitted myself to my, you know, spending my time with my Creator, God. And so I clicked in, and the brother's talking about God. I said, you are just too much for me. So I'm just blessed and grateful, and that's all I have to contribute at this time. So thank you, brothers.
All right. Thank you, Brother Cannon.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you. For sure. Is there anyone else, or should I continue? Is there anyone else, Brother Bissett?
Yes, Brother McClure. I just want to tag in with you this morning, because that's my focus been for this whole week, especially coming up to this quote-unquote Thanksgiving season, where we are definitely supposed to be thankful. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving, because God, through God's grace and mercy, he allows us, and he says that he gives us new grace and new mercy day by day. I got a habit that I stay awake until 12:01 a.m., and that's when I spend a little prayer to God to thank him, because I know I have traveled over from yesterday into today, and that's when I start to give him thanksgiving, and I can go to sleep confident knowing that I have seen another day. So I thank you.
Well, thank you. That is good.
I would just like to remind everyone, this is Brother Bissett, I'd like to remind everyone to state your name and where you're calling from at least once, and then state your name when you make your comment, please. Thank you.
For sure, for sure. I'm going to return back to the message. We can't mute ourselves. There we go.
Go ahead.
So the goal here, as we get back into it, is the goal here is not to train our mind. Okay? The goal here is not to train our mind to just see the good in everything, but to see the God in everything. And that's my first point, and is to see the God in everything. I'm not sure if you guys are taking notes at all, but I would recommend that you write, number one, look for the God in everything. And the reason why I changed it from seeing the good to seeing the God is because I'm going to illustrate a passage for you. I think somebody might be unmuted. If you can mute your mic, it might be, you know, the radio show, if you guys can mute the mic. Good to us has many definitions, right? Good to us has many definitions. If some of you grew up with brothers and sisters, here's somebody's mic, 100%. Could you mute your mic, or somebody can mute the mic? Thank you. Good has many definitions. So if we grew up with brothers and sisters, we know that if mama asked us how our day was going, for me, it might have just been I had all A's on my test. It could have been I got a 93 on my test. I didn't go to the principal's office. I didn't get a call home. But for our brothers and sisters who might have been a little bit more hard-headed, a good day for them might have getting one phone call home. A good day for them might have been getting a 70 on the test instead of a 69, because they struggle just a little differently. So when mama asks us how our day was, we both say good, but we have two different definitions. Or even take Thanksgiving, for example. Everybody got macaroni. Everybody cooks the turkey their own different way. Everybody makes the potato salad differently. Some people don't even touch the potato salad. And so if I was to come to some of y'all house, I'd say, hey, is this mac and cheese good? And some people would say, yeah, it is. But my taste buds might say something completely different. And so because the word good is so up and down based on specified people's idea of what good means, we want to make sure we see the God in every situation. Now, why see the God instead of seeing the good? Because Malachi 3:6 says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so what that means is that our God is the same. He doesn't change. He's consistent. And so when we see the God in the situation, we're looking for that piece in the situation that might be tough, right? But we know that God can pull us through it. That piece, that part of the situation, that if it wasn't for him, our situations could be completely different. Again, this recognizing what our situation is, but understanding what it could have been. And that's what makes us have an attitude of gratitude. And so we want to look for the God in the situation and not always the good, right? Because if we're being honest, some situations, it's hard to see the good, right? If my friend has COVID, right, it might not be easy for her to see the good, but to see the God in the situation says, hey, you might have COVID, but you're not dead by COVID, right? The seeing the God says, you might not have any money, right, right now, but you've had some money before, whereas some have never had any. So seeing the God might say, you might be remembering a loved one today, but there's somebody out there who doesn't have anybody to love at all. So seeing the God in the situation, right, it means that we're intentionally, on purpose, looking to see where God's grace was extended to us in our situations. So in order to get to that place, though, we have to align ourselves with God. And how do we align ourselves with God? How do we do that? We do that by point number two, looking at Scripture. So first we're looking for the God, right? Now we're looking at the Scripture. And the Scripture I want to focus on is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, every circumstance. My pastor has a saying where he says, all means all. That means nothing is exempt and nothing is excluded. Amen? Amen. So earlier, Webster gave us the example that they were thankful that they were no longer in the war, right? We see that we are called to give thanks again through it. It's great to give thanks afterwards, right? It's always great. If somebody opens the door, you better say thank you afterwards. If somebody lets you borrow something, hold some sugar, some Kool-Aid, something, it's great to show your appreciation by saying thank you afterwards. But the charge here, right, what we're urged to do is to not let up during even the difficult times of our lives. So during sickness, saying thank you through it. During loss, saying thank you through it. During hardship, saying thank you through it. Heartbreak, being restless, all circumstances, saying thank you through it. Now, like the brother said earlier, it does take a measure of faith. And as we get into that, you'll see why. But saying thank you through it provides that consistency that I referred to earlier. The reason why, if we look at ourselves, the reason why a lot of us have some bad habits is because we've done them for so long that they become second nature to us, right? For some, it might be cussing. For some, it might be eating late at night, right, the guilty pleasures. For some, it might be watching football till you fall asleep on the couch instead of going to go get in the bed. Some of us might be workaholics, but imagine if we practice being truly thankful more often. Imagine how we might assume an attitude of gratitude over time. It then tells us that this is not a suggestion, but the will of God. It says that this is the will of God, which means we should live by this. So I thought about it. Why do we only focus on being grateful and thankful as a world on the third Thursday of November? Why do we look forward to Thanksgiving? Well, it's because we don't have a Thanksgiving. I said we should. That was something God gave me, a Thanksgiving. Because it's not just a day. It's a lifestyle. If we're called to give thanks in all circumstances, that means when we wake up Sunday versus when we go to bed Saturday, and through all the chaos on Wednesday and during the week, we should be living a life of thanksgiving, not a life of thanksgiving. And if we did that, right, if we did that, we'll find ourselves obtaining and becoming more of an attitude, having more of an attitude of gratitude. See, the world trains us to be thankful and grateful when we receive, but we have been hoodwinked and bamboozled not to sing to receive endless grace and mercy constantly. Therefore, we should put on an attitude of gratitude.
Tyler, this is Jensen Brooks. Let me just cut in on you for a brief second because I want the folks to write that word down. Thanksgiving. That's what the man said. Write that down, y'all, so you won't forget it. Thanksgiving. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yes, sir. It's all good. But the world changes, right? That being thankful and grateful means that we become that once we receive. So let's say that is the definition. Let's say that is the case. Then based off the endless grace and mercy that we're constantly given, we should always have an attitude of gratitude. And that's how we flip that full circle. See, the world wants you to think one thing, that we have to be the recipient of a benefit. But really, if we don't receive nothing else, we should be grateful. We should be grateful.
Okay, Minister McClure, may I speak?
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Council of Elders show with Jansen Brooks and his special guest, Minister Tyler McClure, with a special Thanksgiving message about the attitude of gratitude. For those of you who are waiting, please stand by. But hang on. And we'll get right back to the message. Wait, go ahead.
All righty. Do we have somebody on the call, or should I continue?
Yes. Yes, we do have one person waiting. Please stand by.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, caller.
You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Good morning. This is Ron Rogers, and I'm originally from Sacramento, but today I happen to be in Indio, Southern California. So I want to say good morning to all. And I would also like to announce that I have an additional listener this morning. His name is Michael Lacey. I'm visiting his home. And again, in an effort for marketing, I definitely wanted him to hear our show. Tyler, always a pleasure to hear from you, bruh. And we
likewise.
We're definitely enjoying our message this morning. The thankfulness that you're talking about, I definitely do agree. We have to change that to a grateful type of living thing on a daily basis. Simply because, as you said, God's going to bring us through that if it's a down point. And he's going to increase our blessings as we appreciate what he's doing for us. So I, right on with everybody else. I understand that one of your friends, Michael, has called in from Atlanta, I believe it was. And I want to say thank you for being with us this morning. But that pretty much is my comment. And I will basically just mute my phone and get back to listening to you guys. Thank you very much. And happy belated Thanksgiving.
All right, brother. Good to hear you too. Thank you.
Brother McClure, this is Walter Williams from Alabaster, Alabama again. And the scripture that you brought out in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, that is one of my signature line thick scriptures. And it has come to be a way of life to me, as you mentioned, Thanksgiving. That is so wonderful to hear that come out of your mouth. I got goosebumps all over because this is the will of God, you know, and you are doing an excellent job. God has touched you this morning to explain this thing, and you're doing an excellent job indicating to us how we arrive at this position in life, this attitude. And this attitude comes from, like you say, the scripture and studying. So continue on. I'm chopping at the bits. Continue on.
You are good. I appreciate that. I receive that humbly. Truly, I do. Yes, sir. For sure, for sure. So as we get back into it, it does take a level of humility to be thankful, right? Thankful by God's definition. Because you have to see outside of yourself that some things are because he is. It takes a level of humility to be thankful because you have to see outside of yourself that some things are because he is. We have to sit with that. And I'm not here to be so optimistic, but because I can empathize with those of you who may be wondering, how do we keep that type of perspective when we're at such a low, right? This year has been a tough one, full of surprises, full of loss, uncertainty. So how do we feel good about that? And so I gave the example that in my youth, well, I'm 27, but when I was younger, probably about 19, 20, I was going to a four-year. I was going to Cal State University down the bay. And I was going to school, doing well, and my mom, you know, single parent household, single mother, she was losing her job. She was taking care of my grandfather who had dementia and Parkinson's and many other things that was going on with him. And so that really got overwhelming for her, taking care of him by herself. And we weren't no longer home. We were away at school, my twin sister and I, and she lost her job. She was making 90-something K a year. So she had a good job, but they were on her neck, and, you know, they were little racist up there, and so that got overwhelming. She lost her job, and then my grandfather passed, and so she kind of went into a state of depression. And being the mama's boy that I am, I felt for her all the way from school. I didn't have any money to get home. However, I did just buy a car, but then my car broke down, and then it was finals week, and my laptop broke during finals week, and so then my grades dropped, and all that led to me having to go home. I had to go back home. I had to drop out. And I was really disappointed because when I got back home, my car got stolen once it got fixed. And this car meant a lot to me, not that I loved my car that – actually, I guess I could say I loved it that much, that it had just a huge place in my heart, teaching Bible study at college. And a lot of people looked to me as a good example of a believer, but nothing bad really had happened in my life. Nothing extreme had happened in my life. And so when all these things happened, my faith was challenged. My faith was challenged. It was like, so God, I'm out here teaching your word. I'm letting people know I'm not falling to sin out here. I'm not doing this. All my classmates and friends are going drinking and smoking, and I was like, God, like, how could you allow all these things to happen to me? And so one of my friends was just like, hey, like, why are you so down in the dumps? You're the same person who instills faith in our eyes. You have been that example for us. Why are you so upset? Things happen, right? And I was like, no, like, God just left me hanging. And as soon as I got done saying that, I got a phone call from the police. We found your car. And I was like, wow, God just wanted to see how faithful I was going to be through my situation. He never said bad stuff wouldn't happen to me. I fooled myself by thinking that. This is not a checklist. It's a relationship. And so I had to humble myself and say, your faith is not where it was because it was based on could benefit you, not based on who the God is over your situation. And you got so caught up in the things in your life, the grandparents, the mom, the schooling, the car, that you forgot about the person that created these things. And so literally a year later, right, I think that night the next morning when I went to work, one of my friends at work was telling me, he said, man, you have got to shift your perspective. You have to shift your perspective. Things happen. You can't control everything. Things happen. And so a year later, almost the similar type of situations happened. Same time of the year, everything was crazy. A year later, same things had happened. And when I got there this time, I smiled and said, hey, I'm going to shift my perspective. God is in control. And literally when I said that, that whole day, things just started working out for the good. And I was like, man, this is really just a faith walk. This is really just a faith walk. And so the biggest difference between the world's advice and God's will always be this. In fact, there's a formula. So if you want to write anything else down, I encourage you to write this down. Faith over feelings. Faith over feelings. It is better to rely on a faith based off of fact, based off of a God that has shown up time and time again, than to move off of feelings that are fleeting. It is better to rely on a faith based off of fact than move off of feelings that are fleeting. And that's important because if we know, right, if we know that God has shown up for us in our lives time and time again, and he's brought us through something time and time again, whether it be one thing or whether it be many things, then we can trust in him because his word holds true. Rather than feelings that say one moment I want a hamburger, the next moment I think I want pizza instead. You know what? I think I want a steak. We can't trust our feelings. We want what we want. Every second is something different, right? We want to go hang out with the guys, and then, you know, yeah, we change our mind. We'd rather just stay home, watch the game instead. But God, again, is the same now and forevermore. And that's not just his characteristics. That's him, period. He does it. He's not moved. He's not moved. And so I'm most certain that if any of us are going through something today, right, this is not the first time you've been through something. If this is the council of elders, this is not the first time that most of us have been through something, because we've been around for some time, right? Maybe not right. As big this time around, maybe not as small, but you've been through something, and you felt the same way you do now. Like, man, I can't do it anymore. Man, this is rough. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know if I'll make it through today. Well, I'm trying to figure it out. You got out of it. And so the next situation, you felt the same way. Boom, got out of it. And then the following situation, boom, and now today, those feelings fooled you at some point. You got out of it. And whether there was nothing after that situation or whether there was something else or everything else, you got through that too. And you'll get through this too. Because we're not bound by our feelings. We have to learn how to be drowned in our faith. We're not bound. We should not be bound by our feelings. We should learn how to be drowned by our faith. So when life situations and circumstances do happen, we're not thankful by the definition of Merriam-Webster when we're pleased, because our situations may not feel pleasing to us, and they're not always relieving to us, right? They're not. But if we're drowned in our faith, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Right? And so I'm not here to pull on heartstrings, right? I'm not here to have anybody in their feels. But the reason we lean on faith is because feelings are the reason why we thought we couldn't get through it in the first place. Feelings are the reason why we thought we couldn't get through it in the first place. That's why we lean on our faith. We couldn't be grateful and thankful because we didn't know what to be grateful and thankful for, because our feelings fogged up the vision, therefore giving us lack of perspective. Faith gives us clarity because it helps us see that when and while we couldn't, he can. Faith gives us clarity because it helps us see that when and while we couldn't, he could, and he can. Is there somebody on the line, Brother Abbasin? I think I heard somebody get ready to say something. Is there somebody on the line?
Brother McClure, this is Walter Williams again. Faith over fear. Faith over fear.
Yes, sir.
You are preaching this thing this morning. And And we have to know that. We have to know that because feelings change. Yes, you have said.
Yes,
feelings change. And but God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And the one thing that we have to realize is in this flesh, the flesh can never be satisfied. And we go through this test every day. You see something that you want, you get it. As soon as you get it, you go on to something else. You want something else. The flesh can never be satisfied. So we cannot rely on our feelings. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But you really expounded on that because you can see it from the consistency of God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you.
Thank Brother you. McClure.
Yes, sir.
Good morning once again. This is Michael Gant. I've been chomping at the bit ever since you brought up the subject of faith, and you know my reasoning bringing it up now is that you know I'm a dual diagnosed individual and mental health things that I live with, but I'm also a recovering alcoholic and addict. And I had tried hard for 3 years before I truly became new and whole, and things weren't working. And I was listening to men telling me how to run my life, and how not to drink, and that's all well and good, but it's just like. Most of the people that was talking to me didn't understand me, and I finally one day decided this has to end. So I've never forsaken God. I've always had God in my heart, and Jesus Christ is my Savior. I always has been, and that's when I decided I tried to rely on Him. Because he tells me to give everything to Him. He'll take care of me. And I remember sitting in a group and hearing some people say that they want to believe in God, but if God was there, why did He let these things happen? And I started thinking about that on a personal level, and I had to look back and decide that God didn't let these things happen. God allowed me to live the life that I chose, waiting for me to come back to Him, and I finally did. I realized, God didn't make these things happen. He didn't put the drinks in my hand, when I decided to just renew my faith in Him. I realized that, just like they say, it's a day at a time to go through these life's journeys, and that's regardless of whether you're living with any addictions or problems or not. Everybody has to live a new life every day. And just like you said, you have to have gratitude that the Lord allowed me to touch the carpet in my bedroom once again. I am grateful for that, but I know that I've been clean, and I've been I've been traveling down for 7 years, and I would have never have done it without Him. So I know that I don't go to these to AA meetings and things like that. I don't listen to men tell me what to do. I listen to people that God puts before me. And I can always tell when that is because they always come with something positive, something uplifting. And so it's one reason why I'm here today, because of the council. I truly thank you for being here today.
I'm grateful to be here. I appreciate your transparency. And again, congratulations for pushing through. My father is and still struggles with some alcoholism, and so I commend you for your effort and your commitment to God to allow Him to do that work.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. For sure. So it says, he tells us in James 1:1-2, to count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, right? This is the alcoholism. This is the hardship. This is the COVID. This is the uncertainty. This is 2020, right, in a nutshell. When you face trials of many kinds. And in 3, James 1:3, it says, the testing of your faith produces patience. Then it says in 4, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So by Webster's definition, we should be thankful when it's all said and done. We should be relieved and pleased when it's all said and done. But why be thankful when the war is over, when you can thank him for providing in the middle of it? In the middle of it. It says, patience will have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we can thank him in the middle of it because we can see that he's already completed a work in us. Should we choose to be faithful and steadfast? Steadfast also means committed to God in the midst of our situations. There's purpose in giving thanks all up in the middle of your circumstance. There's purpose in giving thanks in the middle of your circumstance. He tells us in Hebrews 12:28, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Our God cannot be moved, even when our feelings are. Our God cannot be moved, even when our feelings are. We should be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, even when our faith is. Our kingdom, our God, cannot be moved by our circumstances, even though our faith is, right? It goes up and down. We believe, then we don't believe. We say we do, then we struggle with it, and then we try to keep a smile on our face, and we fight these feelings, but his kingdom is not shaken. So though we may be rocked by our situations or hurting, he won't fold even if our faith does. He won't fold even if our faith does. And that's important to know. That's important to know because I'm not sure who else has been into a fight with somebody or I'm sure we all have asked, I don't care how old you are, we've been in that situation where we want to walk up to our mom and ask her if our friend could come over, right? And it seems like the closer we get to our mom, the further our friend gets away from us. So we ultimately end up over there by ourselves. But with God, he's with us the whole way through our situations. He don't run because he's not intimidated. In fact, our situations are intimidated by our God. The reason why the world disguises the true meaning of being thankful, being grateful, is because the enemy wants to pull you into a hopeless place that leaves you never satisfied, always wanting more. And we don't recognize that that's only fool's gold. If he could pull you into a place, right, of have you thinking that you're only to be grateful or thankful when a situation is pleasing to you or when it's at your benefit, knowing that you're never satisfied, that decreases your faith in God. Because the moment you're not satisfied, you start to wonder, is God even working? Is God even present? Is God even still here in the midst of my situation? When God is ever present the whole time. It's fool's gold to think that being thankful is only you reaping a benefit. A lot of times we combat. Yes, sir.
Mr. McClure, we have 10 minutes of showtime, but I would just like to chime in with a comment that I remember a minister saying one time, stop telling God about your troubles and start telling your troubles about your God. So I love your thoughts today on the attitude of gratitude. It's a wonderful thing, sir, that you're doing, and I bless you. We have about 9 minutes of showtime, ladies and gentlemen, so if you'd like to make a comment, please press one on your phone. Otherwise, we will continue with Minister McClure.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be swift. But a lot of times we come back. I still hear some static in the back and somebody mute themselves. A lot of times we combat this attitude of gratitude with complaining, right? Coveting. But, oh, look at their situation. I'm doing all this over here, and this person who don't even believe in God, who ain't even been to church, is seems to be doing just fine. Or, I mean, if you're my age, you're looking at everybody doing all the scamming for EDD, unemployment. They getting paid off. And I'm having to work paycheck to paycheck, go to my 9 to 5 or my 8 to 4:30 and go there every day. But that's how the enemy fools us. Because what happens is, why it seems like they're getting away with it, then we see the crackdown, right? And then that's what makes us grateful. Because then we see, oh, that could have been me. But this is the perspective we're called to keep from the beginning of our situations, through our situations, not just when we see the result in our situation, because there's no faith there. He's calling us to live a life of blind faith, contentment, but also true commitment to Him. At the true core of real gratitude, there is contentment, even in the darkest situations. So whether you're able to be with family this holiday season, or if you're like me and you're quarantined and cooped up in your room in isolation, remember Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious for about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication and seeking humbly with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so we have to know that in the middle of our situations, in the middle of the war, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of 2020, in the middle of hardship, there is some anxiety there. There's some anxiety there. But He tells us to cast His cares on Him, for He cares for us. And a lot of times we miss this, and we have to look at this real clear. I understand we're running out of time, but it tells us to cast our cares on Him, because He cares for us. And when we say, well, I can cast my cares on myself because I care for me.
Hello? Hello?
Apparently the caller seems to drop. So I'm not exactly sure if he can get back in. I would appreciate it. We have 6 minutes of showtime, Mr. Brooks.
Okay. Maybe he'll get back in. Occasionally that does happen. This is a live broadcast. But I just wanted to say that if you're a new listener, I can't promise you that every show will be this good, but we will try. This has been a good show today. And notice that we have a couple of new listeners at least. And thank you guys for joining us. Our phone number is 516-387-1611. That will come on every Saturday morning.
He's back.
Hello?
Okay.
The enemy is working this morning. The enemy, thank you for being patient. The enemy is working. The enemy is working, my God. Man, he don't want us to hear this. In the midst of our situation, there's going to be some anxiety. But he tells us to cast our cares on him. Somebody has to mute themselves. Somebody has to mute themselves. But he tells us to cast our cares on him. And we say, I care. I care about me. I can cast my cares. But the reason why he tells us to cast our cares on him is because he truly cares for us. We live our lives thinking that we know what's best for us. When really he says, hey, I created you. Put your situations in my hands. Can somebody mute yourself?
Just a second. We have one more person who would like to speak, and we got about 4 minutes left. So if you'd like to get your question in, you better get it in quick.
They can speak. Okay.
Is that me?
Well, he says, yeah, go ahead. That's all you. Go ahead, sir.
Brother Preston again from Elk Grove. Again, Brother Preston from Elk Grove. I have two. One question I have is, do you guys record these sessions? And two, would the minister have time to end it in prayer? I'm not sure how you guys end this, but this message
yes.
is straight from the throne room. So that's my comment and question. Thank you, but God bless you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Preston, this is Jansen Brooks. I also live in Elk Grove. But, yes, these broadcasts are recorded. You can get them on what you call blogtalkradio.com. You go to blogtalkradio.com, and in the browser that the blogtalkradio.com has, you type in the Council of Elders, and we'll pop up. It's a green and white logo. Also, I do post these on my Facebook page, and we do have a new a group, Facebook group coming up. So, but the number, if you want to listen to this broadcast or any of our broadcasts, you look at blogtalkradio.com, and in their browser, you type in the Council of Elders and look for our green and white logo. This program should be on in a couple of hours after the show turns off today. So we've got about, 3 minutes, Brother Oscar? 2-3 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up.
I mute my microphone. I mute my microphone so that I don't pick up any noise. Yes, we got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left.
So I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay.
So.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and wrap it up, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, there's peace. There's peace in the middle of our situations, and we can be grateful for that. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving Him thanks to the Father through Him." And so, my last point is look up and give Him thanks. By these things, we cultivate an attitude of gratitude, ultimately creating a spirit that is both obedient and pleasing to God. So, this holiday season, don't look to the checklist or what the world tells you that you need to have the ideal holiday season. Look to endure this season with a grateful heart, steered by joy in the spirit, and I assure you, all will be well. And this is how we cultivate an attitude of gratitude. I don't want to brush past this without closing out in prayer. We didn't open in prayer, but I do want to close out in prayer. So if you all please bow with me. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to come here today, God. We thank you for the opportunities that you present us, not just to be on the call, but just to be breathing, God. We thank you for the movement in our limbs. We thank you for allowing us to be present this morning, Lord, not just physically present or virtually present, Lord, but mentally present, God. We know that there are many people fighting through a lot of situations, Lord, but we don't want to thank you when the war is over, Lord. We thank you in the middle of it, God. We thank you for all that you've done thus far, God. We thank you for the good and the bad, Lord. For in the bad, you've grown us up, and in the good, you've shown us your grace, God. We thank you so much for what you're going to do in our lives moving forward, Lord. I thank you for this Council of Elders, Lord. I thank you for the men and the callers present here today, Lord. We ask that you help us to shift our hearts and minds into a posture that is grateful, Lord, and thankful always, Lord. Not by man's definition, Lord, but by a definition to where you will be pleased, Lord. Continue to renew our hearts and minds daily, Lord. Allow us to die to ourselves, Lord. We thank you for Brother Brooks being obedient to the Spirit. In these things we pray, God, amen. Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure, Tyler. It's been a real
amen.
Message you brought to us today.
Amen.
And we really appreciate you, brother.
Thank you,
okay,
all.
Everybody, that's about it for today. Remember, 10 o'clock Pacific, the number to call is 516-387-1611. Everybody, thanks for joining in today, and God bless you now.
God bless all of you.